Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, December 4th, Pope Francis urges UN climate conference participants to help offer the next generations a reason to hope. The bishops of Malta appeal for unity as the island nation spirals into political turmoil. And Myanmar's cardinal urges politicians to reject violence and seek peace. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. Pope Francis has sent a message to participants at the United Nations Climate Conference being held in Madrid until the 13th of December. The Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, read the Pope's message at the opening of the meeting. Sean Patrick Lovett reports.
Pope Francis begins by referring to the December 2015 Climate Conference and its adoption of the Paris Agreement to work together in building our common home. Sadly, writes the Pope, after 4 years, studies show that the current commitments made by states to mitigate and adapt to climate change are far from those actually needed to achieve the goals set by the Paris Agreement. They demonstrate how far words are from concrete actions, writes Pope Francis. While recognizing the growing agreement on the need to promote processes of transition, to encourage solidarity and reinforce the links between climate change and poverty, the Pope says there's much concern about the ability of these processes to respect the timeline required by science. In his message, Pope Francis says we are facing a challenge of civilization in favor of the common good and of a change of perspective that places this same dignity at the service of our action, which is clearly expressed in the human face of climate emergencies. The Pope confirms there remains a window of opportunity, but we must not allow it to close. Pope Francis speaks of how young people today show a heightened sensitivity to the complex problems We must not place the burden on the next generations to take on the problems caused by the previous ones, he writes. Pope Francis concludes, wishing we may offer the next generation concrete reasons to hope and work for a good and dignified future. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
Thomas Insua is the director of the Catholic Climate Movement. He spoke to Vatican Radio's Gabriella Cerazzo.
Pope Francis is asking governments at COP25 to take drastic action against the climate crisis. The Pope is urging political leaders to take seriously the appeals from the scientific community about the emergency we're facing. The Pope, in his last message, again uses the word emergency. And the Pope has used this word lots of times already, saying we're living a climate emergency. Just the recent typhoon in the Philippines just yesterday that devastated parts of the Philippines and displaced hundreds of thousands of people, killed a few, a majority of them in more vulnerable situation, usually situation of poverty. We know that the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor are a single cry, as Laudato Si says. So Pope Francis, in light of this scientific reality and this drama that we're living, is urging governments to do more to implement the Paris Agreement with the level of ambition that is needed, which we know there is no political will still. The governments are not doing what they need to do. There's a need for more pressure from civil society and from the church, asking, urging, demanding governments to do more, to grow their ambition, to enhance their national climate plans in line with the science. So, yes, the church has a critical role to play. There will be, at all levels, the Holy See will be there present in COP25, bringing this message of urgency.
That was Thomas Insua, director of the Catholic Climate Movement, speaking there to Gabriella Cerazzo. In the United States, Pope Francis has accepted the resignation of Bishop Richard Malone from the pastoral governance of the Diocese of Buffalo, and he has appointed Bishop Edward Scharfenberger of Albany as apostolic administrator of the diocese until a new bishop is appointed. The Catholic bishops of Malta have issued an appeal for unity on the island nation at a time in which they say division could lead to the trap of hatred, lies and violence. As Linda Bordoni reports, the bishops' appeal comes as the nation spirals into political turmoil, triggered by investigations into the car bomb assassination of an investigative journalist in 2017.
Daphne Caruana Galizia was a committed and courageous journalist whose work led to serious allegations of corruption, money laundering and tax evasion at the highest levels of the nation's political and business spheres. For years, her blog, Running Commentary, put these scandals on full display for everyone on the island to see, exposing the underlying rot in Malta's supposed prosperity. Caruana Galizia was assassinated in October 2017, and since then almost everyone on Malta has been demanding to know who ordered her murder. Mounting pressure has led to independent investigations, and the EU's commission head on Wednesday demanded a thorough and independent probe. So far, investigations have resulted in a government crisis, triggering protests and a promise by the Prime Minister to resign in January. During these turbulent times, say the Bishops of Malta, we must all seek to work together with a calm sense of purpose to promote truth and justice with charity and respect for one another. Thus, Bishops Scicluna, Grech and Galea Kurmi call on all citizens to work together in a spirit of collaboration and for the greater good of Maltese society in general, so that our institutions, they say, may carry out their duty with due diligence and with impartiality. They urge their flock to seek the common good, recalling the spirit of the Advent season that reminds us, they say, that we await the coming of the Lord, in whose days may justice flourish and peace abound. May our people's passion for justice, truth and honesty, the bishops conclude, be expressed with respect towards each other and with a strong rejection of violence. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Myanmar's prominent Catholic Church leader is appealing to the nation's leaders to set aside guns and violence and seek peace and reconciliation through justice and truth, saying the badly wounded nation is in desperate need of healing. Cardinal Charles Bo, the Archbishop of Yangon, also urges the international community not to punish the poor and innocent in its measures against perpetrators of crimes against humanity in the country. Robin Gomes tells us more.
For 70 years, Myanmar has been torn apart by ethnic conflicts, dictatorship and religious nationalism that has led to horrific bloodshed, death, destruction, slavery, rape and injury, laments Cardinal Charles Bo, the Archbishop of Yangon. War and hatred have resulted in the displacement of hundreds of thousands. Our natural environment is threatened, our economy ruined and our education denied, he notes in a statement released on Sunday. The Cardinal, who is the President of the Federation of Asian Bishops' Conferences, notes that since Myanmar opened up to the world 7 years ago after decades of isolation, there have been some moments of hope and light, only to be replaced by new dark clouds. The 71-year-old Salesian cardinal says he's not a lawyer or a politician, but as a priest, he says, he knows that justice is needed for peace and for reconciliation, truth must be recognized. He thus appeals to Myanmar's leaders to put away guns and violence and to reach out in dialogue with all communities in Myanmar of every race and religion to seek a peaceful political solution to decades of conflict and to begin a new process of peace, justice, truth and reconciliation. The cardinal raises his voice just as Myanmar prepares to defend itself against charges of genocide against Rohingya Muslims at the International Court of Justice at The Hague in the Netherlands. Cardinal Bo urges the international community that in its efforts to hold those responsible for crimes against humanity accountable, they do not inadvertently penalize those who are not responsible, especially the poor. I'm Robin Gomes.
Pope Francis on Wednesday morning greeted leaders of Poland's Solidarity Movement on the occasion of the 40th anniversary of its foundation. He told them that truth and justice is always accompanied by the presence of God. Lydia O'Kane has more.
Before his weekly general audience on Wednesday, Pope Francis addressed leaders from the Polish trade union Solidarity, or Solidarność, in the Paul VI Hall. The movement was founded by Lech Wałęsa in 1980 in Gdansk, becoming the first independent labour union in a Soviet bloc country. The Pope recalls that through the 1980s it had been the protagonist of political and social changes in Poland, and has also played an inspiring role beyond the country's borders. "I congratulate you," said Pope Francis, "on your service for the common good." 40 years ago, he continued, St. John Paul II invoked for his fellow countrymen this very presence of God and the breath of the Holy Spirit. The Pope told those present that a sign of openness to the Spirit of God is the attitude of solidarity with people deprived of their inalienable rights. Solidarity, he said, is a sensitivity to the voice of brothers and sisters who have been deprived of the right to decent working conditions, to the just reward necessary to support the family, to healthcare or to rest. The Pope noted that the condition for positive changes in social structures is, above all, a change in mentality, convictions and attitudes. Otherwise, he said, sooner or later, new structures themselves will no longer serve the common good and will become corrupt, heavy and ineffective, and even harmful. Concluding his greeting, he prayed for the fruitful perseverance of their work, of assistance and support. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
The Council of Cardinals have been meeting this week in the Vatican. Pope Francis also took part in the work of the Council. The Council's work focused primarily on continued study of a draft text of a new apostolic constitution on the Roman Curia, which is expected to continue during the next meeting scheduled for February 2020. The Cardinals also heard reports on the Synod for the Amazon and on the synodal path currently underway in Germany. Pope Francis earlier today continued his series of catechesis on the Acts of the Apostles during his weekly general audience in St. Peter's Square. Christopher Wells tells us more.
During Wednesday's general audience, Pope Francis reflected on St. Paul's ministry in Ephesus and on his farewell after he had left to the leaders of the Christian community there. While he is in Ephesus, St. Paul was able to work miracles of all kinds, including healing the sick and liberating those who were oppressed.
Questo accade perché il discepolo somiglia al suo maestro.
He was able to do so, the Pope said, precisely because Paul resembled Jesus, his master, and made him present, communicating to his brothers and sisters the same new life that he himself had received from the Lord. The Pope also noted that Paul exposed exorcists in Ephesus who attempted to cast out demons without spiritual authority, and he exposed the weakness of magic, which many people abandoned after Paul's preaching. Even today, the Pope said, some Christians will go to fortune tellers who use tarot cards or read palms to tell the future. But magic is not Christian, the Pope insisted, saying the Christian should remember that the grace of Christ brings you everything, and concluding, pray and entrust yourself to the Lord.
Prega e affidati al Signore.
Pope Francis then turned to St. Paul's final farewell to the Christian community in Ephesus after he had left the city. The apostle exhorted the elders, that is, the Pope said, the priests, to watch over yourselves and the whole flock.
E questo è il lavoro del pastore, fare la veglia.
This, the Pope said, is the work of the pastor, to keep watch, to be vigilant, to guard the flock, but also to guard oneself, examining one's conscience. The Holy Father concluded his homily asking us to pray that the Lord would renew in us his love for the Church and for the deposit of the faith which the Church preserves, and to make us all co-responsible in the custody of the flock, supporting in prayer the shepherds so that they may manifest the tenderness and love of the Divine Shepherd. I'm Christopher Wells.
And finally, tomorrow, Thursday, the 5th of December, marks the inauguration of the Nativity scene and the illumination of the Christmas tree set up in St. Peter's Square. The crib comes from Sucurelle in the province of Trento, while the 26-metre-high spruce tree comes from Rozzo in the province of Vicenza in Italy. The Nativity scene, which has been made into the Trentino tradition, is said to contain 20 life-size figures. Both the tree and the crib are linked to a storm which hit many areas of Triveneto in Italy in October-November last year. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks go to Gaetano Paradisi in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlu.